Well, Senator Warren, thank you very much for speaking with me. I really appreciate this.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
So I want to ask you about a couple of words. One is a word you use pretty often, and that's fight.
Yep.
We know that you're a fighter. I wanted to ask about a different word, compromise, and about and a specific time that you can recall where you have used the skills that you have to compromise with those who disagree with you to get something important done.
Sure. So let me just start with the fact that 40 million people in this country have hearing loss, and yet fewer than 1 in 6 actually get the help they need. The reason for that is because a handful of hearing aid companies have figured out how to manipulate the laws and drive up the prices and charge thousands of dollars for hearing aids. So I figured out this problem and thought, dang, we ought to be able to fix this at the federal level by permitting the sale of hearing aids over the counter. So I talked to a bunch of scientists, a bunch of doctors, a bunch of audiologists, put something together. And then I started making the calls very quietly, but called the First Republican, explained the problem, and said, could we work together on this? And the guy said, yeah, that's a good idea. And then the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And we had to make some adjustments to the bill. I'm totally in. But the point was, we actually put together a law very quietly, very under the radar screen, and President Trump signed it into law, and next year, people are going to be able to buy hearing aids over the counter. And that's going to be a real difference in the lives of lots of people across this country who, instead of only having an option that costs thousands of dollars, actually will have an option that costs maybe a few hundred. You know, that's why I'm in Washington, is to try to make a difference in the lives of real people. And if compromise is the way to get there, if keeping it under the radar screen is the way to get there, count me in. But I do want to say, if the question is how to take away health care from 20 million Americans, I don't see the compromise as, gee, would you agree to only take it away from 10 million? There have to be points where you draw a line and say, no, I'm in this fight because I believe health care is a basic human right, and we fight for basic human rights. So compromise sometimes, fight sometimes, and I hope I can figure out the difference.
Mm-hmm. I'll ask you about healthcare a little later on, but I want to stay on the idea of compromise now, especially when it comes to issues like you just mentioned healthcare, but what about taxes, for example, where that too, like healthcare, might be a fight with Republicans. How would you deploy any kind of sort of negotiation skills to sort of get some movement on some of the tax proposals that you've made so far?
So that's a really good question, but let me start with just the basics, for example, of my wealth tax proposal. And that says the biggest fortunes in this country, the ones that are $50 million or above, that's 0.1%, on their 50 millionth and first dollar, they ought to have to pay 2 cents, and so on for the rest of the dollars above 50 million. Now, there are a lot of Republicans who just say no in Washington. Nope, not doing it because you're talking about increasing taxes. But here's the deal. People across this country, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, or independents, think that's a pretty darn good idea. And recognize that those at the top, they got to pay something too to make this country work. You know, I look at it this way. You built a great fortune, good for you. Well, or inherited a great fortune. But the point is, you've got it. But remember, that fortune was built at least in part using workers all of us helped to educate. Getting your goods to market on roads and bridges, all of us helped to build. Being protected by police and firefighters, all of us helped to pay. And the idea behind it is you made it big, good for you, but put something back in so all of our kids have a chance just to get in the game. And that's the deal with that wealth tax. You know, 2% on the biggest fortunes in this country, we could pay for universal child care, every kid in this country, universal pre-K, universal pre-pre-K, and still have $2 trillion left over. That's something Americans get behind. And I think the real way to push this one is to try to get Washington to align with what most people in this country would like to see.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you what your plans might be for that extra $2 trillion you just mentioned?
Sure. So this is the fun part, is to talk about the kinds of investments we could make. We could reduce the student loan debt burden. We could actually build out on housing and reduce rents across this country and make home ownership more possible for more people. We could do a down payment on a Green New Deal. We could rebuild our infrastructure in this country. It's all about just trying to get some balance. I don't think most people in this country are trying to get over on someone else, trying to get a special leg up. I think they just want a system that's fair. And a 2% wealth tax just helps level the playing field. It just lets us make some of the investments. Think about it. Universal child care, high-quality child care where the child care workers get paid like the professionals they are. Universal child care, that gives mamas and daddies a chance to finish their education, a chance to take a good job, a chance to take a promotion that might mean, you know, longer hours, and a chance for every baby in this country to get high-quality care. That's the kind of thing that helps us build a future as a country. And that's all I'm looking for, is just a chance for everybody, an opportunity.
You've said that the country needs Medicare for all, and you've also said there are a lot of ways to get there. What is your preferred way of getting there?
Well, let me start always with a reminder where we stand right now, and that is Democrats on one side, Republicans on the other. And that is Republicans are trying to take away the Affordable Care Act. They're doing it through the court system. They're trying to do it through their agencies, trying to take the legs out from underneath it. And I say that by way of just trying to sound the alarm, because we have to defend the Affordable Care Act first and foremost. Without it, people with pre-existing conditions have lost protection. Young people under 26 will have lost coverage on their parents' accounts. And you know, tens of millions of people will have lost health care coverage. Second thing we need to do is we need to pick the low-hanging fruit, and that means reduce the cost of prescription drugs. Let's import some of these drugs from Canada. Let's get out there and let Medicare negotiate the price of drugs. I've got a great bill on expanding access to generic drugs. Let's get that cost down. We could do this. And on Medicare for All, we start with the premise, and that is I support Medicare for All. Healthcare is a basic human right. We fight for basic human rights. And what we're looking for is the way to make sure that everybody gets the best quality coverage at the lowest possible cost. Some people think the way we're going to get there is we're going to get there by letting employers buy into Medicare. Others say let employees buy into Medicare. Others say let's take a 2-year runway. Let's take a 4-year runway. There are a lot of different proposals, but the key is we all know where we're aiming. And the center of the bullseye is everybody gets covered at the lowest possible cost, and that's what Medicare for All is all about.
So is there any one of those options that you feel is the one that you would prefer to take?
So what I'd like to see is get there as quickly as we can. I think that's what we need to do. Everybody needs to be covered, and we've got to cut the costs. That's an urgent message for all of us, and it's that we've got to keep this momentum moving forward. Right now, the Trump administration, the Republicans are trying to push in exactly the opposite direction. That's not who we are as Americans. We can't leave any of our people behind. We can't leave our children behind. We can't leave our college students behind. We can't leave our seniors behind. We have to be a country that embraces the notion that everybody gets access to good health care, but we got to keep those costs as low as we can. Medicare is our best option to do that.
Our time is short, Senator Warren. I want to make sure I get your thoughts on a few things really quickly, things that other Democrats in the race are talking about. One of them is whether or not we should abolish the Electoral College. What do you think about that?
Yes, we should.
Okay.
I believe every vote should count. You know, what happens right now is that no presidential candidate in a general election goes to Mississippi, goes to Alabama, or goes to Massachusetts, or goes to California, because we're not considered states that are in play. Well, I think when you run for president, You ought to run for president of all the people. And that means you ought to be asking everyone for their votes, not just people in a handful of so-called battleground states. So the way to do that is we could do it by abolishing the Electoral College, but you know, we don't even have to go all the way to doing a constitutional amendment. Right now, we have the idea of a national popular vote and a compact among the states in which states sign on and say, hey, we agree that when enough states have agreed, we will cast our electoral votes for whoever got the majority of votes in the country, the majority of real votes.
That would be sufficient instead of abolishing the Electoral College?
Yep. Okay. And by the way, we're on the way. I think just last week, I think New Mexico became the latest state to say, we're all in on this. We're about two-thirds of the way there. So this could be a real change, and it fits with a basic principle of democracy. Every vote should count. And the way we can make that happen in a presidential, get rid of the Electoral College and just count up those votes. Whoever gets the most wins.
Mm-hmm. What about adding justices to the Supreme Court? Are you in favor of that?
You know, this is one that I think we need to have more of a conversation around. I realize we can do it without a constitutional amendment, but I'm hesitant, and I want to think through what our options are. Look, part of what really worries me is how much the federal courts have become politicized. You know, the whole concept in the Constitution was that we would have an independent judiciary. And that means not just a Supreme Court that's not political, but Court of Appeals, district courts, that the reason we gave them lifetime tenure was to insulate them from politics. And now, instead, they've become one more pawn in the political game. And let me make clear, a big part of that has been a tilt toward pro-corporate justices. Justices who really try to keep people out of the court system, whether it's employees, consumers who get hurt. And that undermines one of the basic foundations of democracy. So we're going to have a big conversation about our courts overall, and particularly about a Supreme Court that has become increasingly pro-corporate and very, very politicized.
Mm-hmm. You've made many trips to New Hampshire so far since announcing your run for president. Have you had any conversations with New Hampshire voters, or a particular conversation with a voter that you remember that shifted your thinking on a particular policy issue? And if so, what was that conversation?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I've loved every conversation I've had here in Massachusetts. You know, I had someone come up to me after a speech I'd given to talk about childcare. And I talked about universal childcare and how important it is. And the person told me a story, not about himself, but about his own mother and what the lack of childcare had meant in her life and as a consequence in his life. And I shouldn't say it changed my position. I'm there on universal childcare. But it really doubled down on the importance of how a government policy, something made in far-off Washington, ends up touching lives generation after generation. The fact that his mother couldn't get childcare, he was a baby born to a single mom. She wasn't able to finish her education. And how many times she tried to go back and just could never keep the pieces together to keep him in a place that she thought was safe and good. And how he said he was now committed in this fight for universal childcare, a single guy, but who'd actually lived the consequences of what it means when decisions made in far-off Washington are not helpful to families like his.
Mm-hmm. You're known for having very detailed policy positions.
I know.
And that's a great thing for voters to know that you've thought through the details. And we're wondering what might be the next big policy proposal that you're going to get ready to roll out?
College and student loans.
Mm-hmm. Can we have a preview?
Stay tuned.
No?
Stay tuned.
No preview right now?
Oh, come on. You can kind of figure out where I'm going on this stuff. But working through the policies. Also, another one to talk about some environmental issues. So more to come.
Well, Senator Elizabeth Warren, thank you very much for speaking with me. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.